August 16th, Jesus says, I am the firstborn from among the dead, in the human and divine orders. Firstborn in the human order, because I am the son, on my mother's side, of Adam. I am the first one begotten, of the lineage of Adam, to have been born as all the children of those created by my father, should have been born. Do not close your eyes. Mary was born by the will of God without stain, and this preservation was willed justly to prepare my coming. But without a special will, Mary, born of a man and a woman joined together according to the law of nature, would not have been different from all the other creatures proceeding from the contaminated root of Adam. She would have been a great just person, like many men and women in ancient times, but nothing more. Grace, life of the soul, would have been slain in her by original sin. It is I who have overcome death and death, I who have called back to life the dead in limbo. They were sleeping. Like Lazarus, whose resurrection veils this truer one. I called them, and they rose again. I, born of a woman who was the daughter of Adam, but without the original stain, that is, as all the children of Adam should have been, am thus the firstborn, in the natural order, of Adam, born alive in the midst of those begotten dead of Adam. I am the firstborn in the divine order, because I am the son of the Father, the begotten one, not created by him. To beget means to produce a life. To create means to form. I can create a new flower. The artist can create a new work. But only a father and a mother can generate a life. I am, then, the firstborn because, born of God, I am at the head of all those born according to the grace of God. When by my death I violently shook the gates of the hereafter, and drew those sleeping out to the first resurrection, I also opened the sluices of the mystical lakes in whose washing the sign which kills is cleansed away. The death of the spirit dies, the real death, and the life of the spirit, is born real life. The slime, will not enter into my light, and will finish becoming corrupted in the union of evil with darkness. For the time being I am preparing the future time, by using particularly the word, that descends from the heavens to the souls ready to receive it. I make you into radio telephone operators intent on hearing the teaching which is perfect, and which I have already given, and do not change, for the truth is one, but it has been forgotten or deformed, excessively forgotten and excessively deformed, for it was useful, to forget it or deform it. I am doing this, because I have mercy on humanity, which is dying without the bread of the Spirit. As I have given myself as bread for your souls, so I now offer my word as bread for your spirits. And I repeat, blessed are those who hear the word of God and observe it. In the evening Jesus says, I said that my new coming will have a new form and power consonant with the circumstances, and I explained to you what men will be like then. The time of the Spirit must come. Man has set out from deep darkness, and an enormous weight of slime, after having lost the divine light by his own will, obeying the enemy's seduction, whose real being, is concealed in the fruit which teaches good and evil, that is, which has disclosed to man what God, for man's own good, had hidden from matter, the mind, the heart. You would have been so pure, so peaceful, so honest, so devout if you had not bitten into the threefold concupiscence, is sweet to the mouth, but bitter to the spirit, more than the vinegar and gall which were brought to me on the cross. Having plunged from his paradisiacal dwelling on the earth, oppressed by the revelation of his flesh, profaned by lust, tortured by remorse at having caused his own suffering, anguished at the conviction that he had prompted the punitive wrath of God the Creator, man was nothing but a poor animal being, wherein all the lower forces struggled and rose up. I have already called your attention to the difference between the precepts given to Moses and my own necessary precepts, in their irritating crudeness, to put a break on the tendencies of man, a piece of flesh barely infused with psychological movement given by a soul that was mortally wounded, and had fainted into a spiritual coma. The memory of the lost light, living on in the depths of the soul, spurred his steps towards the light. A very hard road, because matter weighs more than the spirit, and drags it down. From time to time the goodness of the Eternal gave mankind beacons for the tempestuous crossing towards the true light. The patriarchs and prophets, these are the beacons of mankind in search of the port of light. Then the one whom John, the Beloved, calls the true light, that enlightens every man came. I came as light of the world and word of the Father and I brought peace back to you with the Father, the embrace-making people become children of the Most High once again. It is I who have relit the languishing life of your spirits. It is I who have taught you the need to be born in the Spirit. It is I who have gathered in my person all the light, wisdom, and love of the Trinity, and have brought it to you. It is I who by my sacrifice, have refastened the chain, in the place where it had broken, joining you once again, to the Father, and to the Spirit of Truth. It is I who, making my scaffold into a lever, have raised up your spirits, lying in the mire, and given them a powerful push to proceed towards the light of God, towards myself who await you in heaven. But few in the world over the centuries have benefited from it, for the world has always preferred the darkness to the light. By my atrocious death I obtained the coming of the perfect spirit for you, but, over the centuries, mankind has increasingly rejected it, as it has rejected me, as it has rejected the Father. Like a liquor which is filtered, it has happened that what is heavy has sunk to the bottom, and the clear parts have remained floating. In the course of the centuries, so has it happened with man. Those who have wanted to remain flesh and blood have sunk lower and lower, while those the aristocracy of my flock who have wanted to live in the spirit have become increasingly spiritual. In the middle are the nameless lukewarm. These are two opposing movements of the mass. One part, unfortunately, the largest part, increasingly absorbs Satan and sinks below the level of the beasts. The other part, small, increasingly absorbs Christ, feeding on his word, which has not been silent for 20 centuries, and becomes more and more capable of comprehending the Spirit. When I use special means, it is to accelerate, for the times are moving faster, the fullness of the teaching of the word, and the fullness of the spiritual formation of the true disciples, of the true subjects of King Jesus Christ. Not the King of the Jews, as a weak man who thought he was strong with a poor power said and wrote, but the King of the world before the judgment of the world. Man, proceeding towards the final hour, must reach spirituality. But, understand me, God is spirit, Satan is spirit. The former is the spirit of perfection. The latter is the spirit of all sin. In the mass, split in two by its own will, which God respects, each portion follows the part chosen. The children of the Most High, and my brothers and sisters choose God's part, and out of love for us spiritualize the flesh. The servants of Satan and children of the beast, Lucifer's portion, and out of slavery willed by themselves slay the spirit under carnality, and make their spirits a corrupt and repugnant flesh and blood. When I reign over and in the spirits who have reached that maturity which now belongs to individuals, and will then belong to the entire mass of true Christians, I shall address this portion alone, perfecting it with the ultimate teaching, with a new evangelization, not different in the meaning, which cannot change, but in the power, which they will then understand, and which today they would not understand. The proof is that I must choose special creatures who are worthy of, so much because of their own efforts, or who have been rendered worthy through a miracle of love. 20 centuries ago I spoke to everyone. When the time comes, I shall speak to these alone, convinced of the uselessness of speaking to the others. You have only one thing that's good. The goodwill of love. But it is that which suffices for me. Upon it I set my teaching chair as a master, to make the little soul into a pedestal, to say again, and still again the words of love, and of an invitation to love, which guides and saves. I shall come with my glorified flesh. I got your curiosity going by saying this. You wouldn't be a woman, if you weren't curious. But I say what I deem useful, to say for your good, and not what would nourish your useless curiosity. If being the master is dear to me, I am able to choose from the midst of truth those truths which it is useful for you to know, and that's all. So be content to know that it is right, and fitting in the kingdom of the Spirit, whose subjects will have spiritualized their flesh, for the King to be, he, who robed his perfect spirit, in flesh to redeem all flesh, and sanctify it, and sanctified his own with a twofold sanctity, because it was innocent flesh, perfectly innocent, and flesh immolated in the sacrifice of love. I shall come, with my glorified flesh, to gather together creatures for the final battle against the enemy. I shall judge in my shining robe of glorified flesh the bodies of those coming to life again for the last judgment. I shall return to heaven forever, after having condemned to eternal death the flesh that did not want to become spirit. And I shall go back as the resplendent King of a resplendent people wherein the work of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Spirit, will be glorified by the creation of the perfect human body, as the Father made it in Adam, beautiful with indescribable beauty, by the redemption of Adam's seed, through the work of the Son, and by the sanctification worked by the Spirit.